It's October 28th, 2008, and Chris is hunting for nuggets.
Of laughter.
So you should test yourself there, Boost.
I should. Boost. Boost Remo. That's what they call me. Testing myself for boosts.
Yeah, I don't know if you're really doing that well.
Yeah, I guess not. Shit.
You're fucking shit.
I can never see it. There's always one. This thing always blocks all the shit.
It blocks your dots?
It blocks my dots. My dots are blocked. Dot blocker.
It's a dot blocker.
Blocking dots.
There's some drugs you can
take. Boo.
Video games boost.
Oh. Video games. It's October 28th, 2008, and Clint Hawking got a B.
This is Idle Thumbs 4, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin, and I no hard feelings.
Hello there.
Hey.
I guess...
Sounds like a PBS show. Yeah.
Hello there.
Hello. Greetings. It's been a month, I guess, since we started this. I didn't realize that till just now when I said four.
Well, 4 weeks is or isn't a month.
Yeah, that's basically a month.
It's a month. So, sweet. Yeah. Video games.
Good for us. So, we're still in the midst of preview season. We should probably start with Fallout 3 because that's coming out today. And, yeah. Nick, you've completed the game, right?
I have completed Fallout 3.
Sweet. What do you think?
Just like Diablo 3.
Just like Diablo 3. Yes. Did you complete Fallout 3 in like 20 minutes?
Yeah,
times?
It's about 20 minutes.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a shit game.
Fucking assholes. Why would they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you find all the hidden dungeons, monsters, and keys?
That took me 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's an additional 30 minutes of content. Yeah.
Pretty good. That's almost an hour.
I'm waiting for the DLC.
That's about as long as like Portal, right?
In games these days.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Video games. They're lame. We have a podcast about them. Yeah. What did you think?
Anyway, Fallout was great.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. We were talking about this like a couple days ago, and in the last podcast too. But the best part about it is just the amount of choices you have, and just like the amount of content. Like they just fucking so much stuff to do. Just the volume, the sheer volume of stuff is more or less the best feature. You know?
How would you compare that volume to, say, Oblivion? I mean, I'm not just curious about volume, but I mean,
the quality, think is of a higher level here. If only because the dialogue options are so much more robust. Like Oblivion was just so basic, like, you know, hi, and then you had that little game which you play, like the Simon Says bullshit thing, you know. Now they're actually, you know, like real fucking dialogue choices, and most of them are actually a lot more compelling than I thought they'd be. Like they were well written to a large degree. Like I couldn't provide a whole lot of examples without, you know, spoiling, but it surprised me. I thought a lot of them were just going to be, you know, kind of standard, you know, Bethesda, like, hello, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
Here's a quest. Go do it.
Do they open up much with your character gaining levels in various sort of?
Yeah. There's a lot of different, I mean, this, you know, especially the speech skill, which is always a Fallout thing.
Right.
You know, like that opens up a lot of different options.
Are you the hero of Kvatch?
Actually have a whole spreadsheet now of like things you, well, in the guide anyway, but you can have different titles based on whether you're evil, good, or neutral. So they have like 16,000 different titles that you can be, like the hero of fucking, you know, Wasteland Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
The hero of Wasteland Dude.
Yes.
My favorite title. I like that guy. Wait, isn't that the little cartoon character, Wasteland Dude? Isn't that what I called it? Fuck you, Bethesda. How could you get that wrong? Assholes. So it's Oblivion with guns, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
It's a good game. I would buy it.
Guns.
If you
think,
like guns in Oblivion.
It's pretty visceral.
Visceral? Yeah.
Sorry. I'm retarded. So you were a person who played the other Fallout games.
Yeah.
What?
Jake is.
Are you trying to get
like,
me to make a comparison, Jake?
Jake is apparently really tired.
Sorry,
he only got like 3 hours of sleep last night. This might shine through. This might reflect in the podcast.
It's cool. No, I mean that's been a thing that people have been either bitching about or curious about, whether or not, if, you know, depending on how far on one side or the other of thinking they know what they're talking about goes.
It's kind of Fallout with guns.
Well, we've established that 40 seconds ago. So now as someone who's actually played the game...
I was a little concerned, yeah, as a fan of the original games. I was a little... But, you know, I mean, probably... I haven't gone back and played those games in a while. I shouldn't say that. Maybe like 3 years ago. But I would not be surprised.
Jake just touched Nick.
Yeah.
He has urges, you know? Now he's making hand motions. Okay.
Now he's slapping me.
Anyway.
He's slapping me.
Anyway, Nick, go ahead.
Oh, you have to cut the snow out right now, but it's because you keep squeaking in your chair.
Right. No, yeah, I mean, it compares pretty well. Like, they've really kept a lot of the things that made Fallout really... comparing the previous games to this game, one of the nice holdovers is the computer terminals and the little backstory, like, elements that you can find throughout the game. Like, you know, you can... even in buildings that just, you know, have no quest relevance, no... just sort of laying off the side of the street, you can walk in and find just all kinds of content that they've created that's... just, you know, it's not like super compelling stuff, but it's nice that they actually took the, you know, made the effort to sort of, you know, have those little, you know, things there. And the nice thing is they haven't made it into like a collection thing, like, you know, like where you're like collecting
300 computer
right,
terminals.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or like, you know, like you're actually putting it into your Pip-Boy. No, like you can't actually, you know, like go back and reference that shit. Like, right. You don't collect it. So it's not like a bullshit.
Not like you don't get audio logs.
Yeah, it's not. Some audio logs, but they're always relevant to the quest that you're doing. And it's not really
audio logs.
Audio logs.
In Halo 3, there were all these. They had computer terminals you could find and read, but there were like exactly 12 of them, and they were an achievement. And they were clearly very much there, like as a perfunctory kind of thing. And yet, you know, it's the kind of thing where like all the, and I, you know, I love Halo. I liked Halo 3, but you know, all those fucking guys who were like, and the story's amazing. And if you find, if you read the novels and did you find all 12 terminals? You know, like as soon as you challenge them on anything regarding how fucking just whatever boilerplate sci-fi the story is, it's like, well, clearly you didn't seek out the. So, you know.
Like how the Halo fan was like a monster at the end. Like,
I kind of go into that by default.
No, it's sort of the Metroid style of story, right? Where you're like, they've action after the collection.
I thought you guys were going to talk about the monster. It's sort of like the Metroid style.
Metroid style monster.
You know, it's like Kraid.
Yeah.
When I was talking to Emil Pagliarulo, who is the lead designer and lead writer of Fallout 3, This was about a month ago, I guess. I was talking to him, and he was like, yeah, I asked him a question about kind of the sort of traditional kind of PC, like hardcore PC game ethic, which really I think was at its peak in the late 90s and early 2000s with, you know, the Fallouts, games like Deus Ex and games like that, you know, System Shock, that really kind of exemplified that style of kind of giving you character and letting you play the game you want to do it. And I was kind of asking about that, and I think I probably didn't phrase my question very well, because he was like, oh yeah, man, totally. Like, for example, there's lots of text to read in this game. A lot of text. I really wanted to, like, keep that part. And I was like, okay. And probably in retrospect, what you describe is one of the things he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, with their, I mean, not just the fact that there's just lots of text, but that you're actually getting that kind of contextual information at a pace you want, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying my point was as vapid as his.
No, I'm saying that, you know, yes, your impressions are bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in light of your actual sort of like in-game experience, it makes his answer make more sense to me. Because at the time I was like, oh, well, okay. Well,
you
moving
can read
on.
Stuff. Yeah, right.
Next question. But no, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, in my review, I actually referenced System Shock and Deus Ex and just talk about how, you know, this game like feels like a PC game. You know what I mean? Like it feels like it has that, you know, very old school sort of, you know, you start out and it's got a really nice balance between the open world sort of thing and just, you know, actually giving you a lot of leeway to go off and find some shit that, you know. And not in sort of a planned way.
It's a balance between an open world and, you know, letting you go off and find stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a subtle balance.
Right. It's a subtle balance between
I'm
the
glad
open
you called
world
that out.
And being able to find things.
Because my brain filled in that gap.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know.
So what is the other balance? What is the other side? It's a balance between that.
Guns.
Sweet. Oblivion with guns confirmed. Yes. Bethesda dumbing it down for the gamer.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Bethesda.
I heard that's what console gamers want, is cities full of abandoned buildings containing nothing but text.
Yeah, that's what they want. It's what everyone wants. What I want. Fuck you, Bethesda, for giving me what I want.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know.
Anyway, no, seriously.
Fallout's really good.
What were you? Okay.
you were one of the things, I mean, earlier on you talked about kind of choice and actual consequences to actions. I mean,
yeah. What I like about that system is that it's less transparent than something like Fable. Yeah. Where you're, you know, you have the plus 5 points. I mean, there's clearly, I mean, there is a system, you know, behind Fallout's good and evil thing.
Yeah.
But you're not really worrying about it as you're playing the game, you know. And
does your skin start changing color in your eyes, like right, milk yeah. over and your yeah. hair turns blue and stuff?
No.
What? All right. I don't know how I can tell if I'm evil without, without like milky sort of like underground fish eyes.
Yeah.
My character developed like crazy glowing varicose veins in Fable.
It's gross.
It's pretty gross. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Does Fallout have that?
Does Fallout feature dynamic varicose veins?
Like, exactly.
Does Fallout have that? I don't think so.
I need it.
What else is Fallout hiding? Yeah, no, it's a lot less transparent, and they usually give you a nice amount of options that are fairly neutral, you know? So kind of a gray area options where you're not necessarily helping somebody. And a lot of the times the situation is two sides of you know, forces that aren't necessarily, you know, clear-cut evil, good, right. You know,
neither
or of both of them are evil, or
right.
you know,
neither
I mean?
Of
like,
them is like a
different
sterling, shining
where,
example of morality.
That's,
yeah.
That's nice, because that sort of stuff is in a lot of games, and it always, or at least in the games that I've can be bothered to play that feature that, it frequently comes off extremely ham-fisted, and it makes me sort of tired of people using that as a selling point for games.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense in Fable 2 the way they do it. I mean, it's a very kind of deliberately exaggerated
world. Well, that's sort of the thing of one of the things
good and
of Fable
evil
2.
And kinda, yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, very sort of you're evil, now you've got devil horns and your dog is like a hyena or whatever, and you know,
right.
Now your dog's a golden retriever and you've got a halo on your head. That kind of
thing.
Well,
yeah, that fits with that. But right. There's a lot of games that try to do it and pass it off as like, you have the choice. It's a realistic dynamic simulating reality.
Right, yeah.
I still have crazy blue skin, like, and my hands are on fire. So,
Then on the other side of the coin, there are the games that don't actually end up. I mean, at least Fable still reflects it. You know what I mean? A lot of games just don't reflect it at all.
You're it's evil,
like,
and then that
you
just
make
means
the
that
choice,
just,
and it's like, oh, I guess I'm still just playing this game. Like, great.
Right.
Now the next thing happens.
Right.
I mean,
with Fallout, it's more of a secondary thing. You know,
well,
I mean,
yeah, I like that it's there.
It's a consequence, but it's not something that's shoved in your
face.
It's
not a judgment.
All the time.
Like,
yeah,
I like the idea of. Of it being a consequence in that there are reactions to the things you do, but they aren't passing. I mean, I suspect in a lot of cases, the value judgment would be very clear. I mean, the first encounter that everybody knows, if you blow up the town of Megaton, you're probably not that nice of a guy.
Right.
Like, but I mean, there's a difference between that and sort of like assigning right out front sort of an evil number to your character.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You've rolled
but
evil.
On that note, actually, you were mentioning earlier, I mean, to me separately before the podcast, how you can actually, if you play this game as kind of an asshole, you can end up just like destroying a lot of quests.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Megaton thing, you know, I mean, if you blow up that town and you're, you know, at that point you could be as, you know, you could maybe be like 30 minutes into the game, you can blow up, you know, the entire starting town before you even get the main quest.
So if you're a big asshole, the game will actually have less content, giving you more reason to complain about it. That's
Well, I mean, yeah, that is sort of, you know, I guess a consideration. If you blow up that town, you're losing all those quests, which is why I sort of went back and, you know.
So you did that.
I went back and I tested it to see if you could get away with just blowing up that main quest line. And you can blow up.
Well,
that
then how do you
dude.
Get your main quest?
I didn't quite go that far. Like, I mean, you don't actually get it from the place that you go after that. So I think at that point, it's sort of up to you to find the, you know, it's just going to be a little bit harder, I think, is essentially what
happens. That's kind of interesting.
It doesn't, like, the second you blow up that town, it doesn't say, okay, now you go here. You know,
right,
it doesn't make that connection for you. So, I mean,
that's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, that actually kind of ties into Far Cry 2 a little bit. Like, we'll get to that later, but they dealt with that in a way that is sort of much less obvious and sort of, I don't think most people are going to notice.
Right.
But yeah, we'll get to that. But on Fallout 3, yeah. I don't know. It kind of makes me want to play a game where I kind of just try to like destroy as many quests as possible and see how the game copes with it. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I didn't have enough time to really go through and just be that much of an asshole. But I do want to try that. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, because you can certainly kill. I mean, as far as I know, most of the quests, you know, the main quest guys, you can just
that's pretty extreme.
Out. I mean,
because very few games let you do that, especially these days.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So
I mean, did you kind of have like a goal in mind when you played your character, or do you just kind of take decisions as they came?
I was pretty much trying to complete the game.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I just, you know what I mean?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Reviews.
Yes. Yeah. I did a lot of the secondary stuff, but I had no specific build.
The tertiary?
The tertiary, ancillary. Yeah. But no, I had no plan, but, you know, there are certainly different builds and things different approaches that are pretty obvious that you can take. A lot of the, I think I got to about level 13 by the time I was done, and the maximum was level 20. So, I mean, and I played maybe 12 hours. So I'd certainly skipped over a lot of the content.
So yeah, it's pretty much blew that one.
12 hours. So I mean, you can rush through the game.
You can rush through the game. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel like you're rushing through it, but it has a very sort of abrupt ending. Yeah. So,
and the quest line is pretty linear if you choose to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit more linear than I expected, but it didn't bother me at all. There are just so many points where you can diverge and go off and do whatever. So
do you feel like this is the kind of, because I mean, when, you know, Oblivion, and we've mentioned how much of like a weird phenomenon Oblivion was, but when that came out, I mean, like you could just see, if you went on Xbox Live and looked at your friends list, I mean, you could just see people playing that like for months and months and months. Do you think Fallout is going to have that same kind of lasting appeal?
I don't know.
Density and volume.
All I can say is that, you know, because I haven't played hundreds of hours of it, obviously. I didn't play it to that point.
Did you get kind of a sense of the world at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly smaller than Oblivion is in terms of how much time it's going to take you to get through everything. If only because, again, each quest probably took them so much longer to make, you know.
Right.
There's a lot less, you know, frankly, filler stuff, you know. Even the side quests are more designed, like I was saying before, a lot of the capital areas that you would expect to be, you know, in the main quest line, like Lincoln Memorial and stuff like that, you don't actually do that. That's all side quest material. So,
right.
Like they took quite a bit of it and made it optional, but I think, you know, it's going to end up being smaller than Oblivion, but I don't think people are going to notice so much. I mean,
that's fine with me. I'd much prefer that. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like one of my big turnoffs with Oblivion was just how kind of generic and repetitive a lot of the stuff seemed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want to do that stuff just for the sake of doing it.
The problem with Oblivion too is, I mean, there was, in terms of the design of the world, I mean, there were areas that were certainly distinct, but in general, it was pretty much just a big fucking, you know, fantasy landscape, which to me was sort of dull. Yeah. But in this, you've got a fairly, you know, interesting, you've got the downtown area, and then you have outside of that the forest and
Jake is like just shaking his head here. He can't believe what he's hearing.
I can't even remember what I was going to say.
It's a spirited podcast coming to you from Idle Thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fallout's good.
No, that's good to hear. Because, I mean,
Fallout's, you know, really good.
That's good. I'm like really glad to hear that. Not that I didn't think it would be really good, but I mean, we talked, you know, in our first show about some of the concerns about the game in terms of like variety and sort of depth in compared to Oblivion.
And it's great to hear that they were all 100% unfounded.
Yep. We don't know what we're talking about.
Idle Thumbs says 10 out of 10 for Fallout 3. Only one of us has played it.
Right in there. Well, we should talk about the Fallout, ESRB thing? Did you want to touch on a little bit? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, so what the hell is the deal with that?
I don't know. It's like, pretty bizarre.
I don't even know what this is.
All right, well,
can
you explain it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, well, earlier today we got an email, and it was from Pete Hines, a Bethesda PR VP, and he goes, "Hey guys, take down your Fallout 3 trailer, all of the official Fallout 3 trailers, due to the ESRB, you know, warnings," or I forget the specific language, but in any case,
I assume
it was a very terse, and I was confused. I thought maybe it was related to age gating issues or something, but as it turns out, it's deeper than that, but we don't really know why. Yeah,
I mean, was it the rating changes? Is it just the qualifiers for the rating has changed?
Apparently, what's going on is the ESRB has some complaint about content in some of the trailers, not all of them, but some of them. And so Bethesda just did a clean slate wipe and said, "Everybody, take down everything, and we'll reissue the trailers." I think it's
what?
Yeah, I think it's probably related to that. You know, if you saw the complaint about the Metro ads with the, you know, people are complaining about the image of the Capitol building being burned up and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it may be related, but outside
of that,
I can't
even
imagine.
That was like one dude wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper.
Yeah.
Why were gaming sites treating that like, Like, oh my God, a dude had an opinion in a newspaper.
He
wasn't even an editor at the newspaper. He was a dude. Who cares?
People who cares about one fucking guy?
Well, no, I mean, people can say whatever they want. That's fine. Like, that's not...
You're going to take down a bunch of Fallout ads? You're going to recall a little Big right. Planet? What yeah, the like, fuck, people?
I mean, like, I don't...
One guy doesn't fucking matter.
Well, he doesn't. Like, if it's just, if it's just one dude and
one
like,
guy
writing a letter, like,
yeah.
Okay.
He's a concerned citizen.
Can you just get anything taken down at this point now? Just, like, if you just go on a forum or, like, send a letter to fucking newspaper?
Yeah.
Like, that seems ludicrous.
Yeah, now you've given people game. The power to like take our podcast down. You know,
if one guy writes Gamer to Grub one of us,
I'm very offended by your characterization of our product.
Yeah, I mean, I think video game people are. I think
video game people.
Well, like just the games industry,
like people who
like
work
at large. Yeah. I think is sort of just
afraid.
Yeah, it's afraid on the defense. Sort of like, I mean. On these sorts of issues, the games industry sort of just has its tail between its legs perpetually, and I think it just sort of takes it, which is retarded.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
I don't know. People like taking it.
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it is pretty unfortunate. Like, the industry seems to... I mean, I don't know. You've always got it on one hand going, we make more money than films. We're huge. We're fucking huge. Yeah. We're paying... I mean, like, 2 weeks ago, the ESA bragged about... how much money they donated to Washington lobbyists or like Washington politics. Like, great, good job, guys, I guess. Like, what?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, we're going to fucking take down every fucking product we've ever manufactured as soon as a dude fucking complains about it. Like, I don't know. And now in California, we've got the anti-game legislation.
I guess I didn't even realize that the ESRB had jurisdiction over television commercials and,
well,
and
all, I don't think they do.
They don't. It's a
voluntary organization.
It's totally voluntary.
Well, I'm saying, but if once you've made that, I mean... they can certainly issue a complaint
to
a public.
The ESRB can say, and you kind of have to do something because it's the ESRB.
Right. But you don't legally have to do anything.
Right.
I mean, I'm not suggesting...
But it's something that they're watching, I guess.
Right. But I mean, it gets a little ridiculous when... I mean, I think... I mean, that Bethesda thing is pretty absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand...
Well, there was that huge dong in that Fallout.
Well, I was reading their guidelines, and I mean, there were quite a few guidelines there that I thought... probably could have applied to a lot of those outside of the, you know,
like
imagery.
Exploding
outside
faces
of the imagery. Well, it's like it should be the content or the tone.
Happens,
it's like the tone of the ad should be representative of the game, you know, the seriousness of the game, you know what I mean?
What?
But like,
what?
Well, like, okay, for
Vault
example.
Vault Boy.
Yeah, well, in the trailer, like,
I thought he was called Wasteland Dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies to No Mutants Allowed.
Oh, man, they're going to take us down.
Yeah,
they're gonna write an angry letter.
No Mutants Allowed is gonna write a letter to the editor. Of
Man, that
the
would
Marine
They're gonna write to questions at idlethumbs.net.
If they were our downfall, that would just be sad.
That would be pretty great, actually.
It'd be pretty
actually,
awesome.
Would be pretty cool.
If we were martyrs at the fucking hands of No Mutants Allowed.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're calling you out, No Mutants. Come get us.
Yeah, sweet. Those guys.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them will hear our podcast someday. But it's a letter.
For some reason, I picture those guys listening to our podcast on like a really old, sort of polished wood AM radio in a dark room. We could bring you now live to Idle Thumbs. Like, what?
Sorry.
What?
In fact, yeah, it is being broadcast by old timey like 40 radios.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Idle Thumbs.
Yeah. It might be. But only to those guys.
Only to those guys.
Yeah. In their mind,
they've
they
got
sort of,
like
they
a
have
filter,
a filter in their ear.
Yeah.
Introduced by Ron Perlman.
Podcasts. Podcasts never change.
This one does sometimes.
It changes to shit.
Yeah. Sadly, that's what happens this week. Yeah. All right. Well, before we forget, I want to actually bring up Fable 2. Because last week, I feel like I kind of spent maybe too long talking about the sort of artificial elements of that game.
How you
which,
hate that game?
Yeah, which
you do.
You know, it's a video game, so whatever. I mean, no one like commented on this or anything, but I didn't actually talk about some of the stuff that sort of like really ensnared me, so to speak.
Ensnare.
It's
like a skill.
Yeah. It's like a, you know, there's an attachment like, you get for your 360.
Mm. It cast its net.
It cast its pod into my face.
And ensnared you.
And ensnared me. That's our new slogan. But anyway, I mean, because 2 weeks ago, I think, I was talking about the blacksmith stuff, and Nick was giving me shit about fucking blacksmithing.
Didn't that turn out well for you in the end, though?
Yeah, it did. Because I spent like...
Real estate magnate.
What?
Right? You were...
Yeah, well, yeah. See, because I... Okay, so the blacksmithing thing, which is basically like a golf swing... gameplay elements.
It's just links.
Know? Or yeah, well it's like the little thing where like the little dot swings across the screen button. And you've
got it. Oh, so it's like Crash Mode
right
and Burnout.
Yeah, exactly. Crash Mode and Burnout was the inspiration for many golf games.
Yes.
As well as the reload mechanism in Gears of War. Yeah, Blacksmith is basically like that. I'm still calling it Blacksmith in Fable 2.
It's like the whole game for you. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, it's not called anything. It's just the thing
Blacksmith,
you do.
Oh, it's Blacksmith.
It's Blacksmith 2.0.
Right. Yes.
You know, but anyways, I played that. Basically, one of the first things I did when I got into the game, when I found the first real town, was go to the blacksmith shop, fucking do the blacksmith, you know, play blacksmith for, it was a long goddamn time. It was like half an hour or something. And then by the time I was done... By the way, people in town like love you when you work. Like they're definitely all about
life lesson.
Like, yeah, it's like yeah, apparently so.
Hey, worker, if you're just the layabout.
Like, they town
isn't yeah. so into you.
Yeah, no, but I got done working and I got in like everybody was just exploding with like hearts and love. So that was pretty sweet. But I also had enough money to buy the blacksmith shop, which was pretty sweet. It was like.
So did you put some old man out of work when you bought his store?
No, he kept working there.
Oh, that's... Huh.
Yeah, and I still had to pay for all the shit that I bought, even though I owned the store. I mean, I guess I was buying it from the wholesaler.
Welcome
except
to
I still
the real
to
world.
I still had to pay full retail price, so that's kind of bullshit. But, you know,
you should
that...
have bought this supplier. Fable 3.
Damn it, I didn't think of that. You can plant a tree, and 20 years later, it will turn into a blacksmith supplier. So... It actually made the sort of work element like feel more tangible.
Were like you sort of like humming to yourself?
I was like
smithing.
I was working and I'm like, oh man, I'm one day I'll own this shop, and like that day ended up being like half an hour later. Like, you know, it felt pretty rad. I was like, fuck yeah, I own this place now. Fuck you guys, like it's mine. And like basically at that point, I just like. Was so into the real estate thing that I just basically spent probably about 50% of my total in-game time like buying property and
buy your own bootstraps.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's pretty sweet. I owned that whole goddamn place. In fact, I owned so much of the place that they gave me an achievement for being fucking king of Albion, like because I owned so much property. Like apparently you become king when you literally own the entire country. They're like, well, guess you rule it now.
So how long until you got bored of that and just started fucking up people's lives?
Well, that was kind of just in the background the whole time. Like that ended up happening. Like I bought my last property after I finished the story mode, and so at that point I was pretty much done with the game. So I stopped.
Sweet.
Yep.
So that's cool. You took it over. You won.
I won. I won my own personal game of Fallout 2. I mean, Fable 2 and Fallout 2, which, as we know, isn't out yet, according to Jake. There's a little callback for you. Jake looks surly. Yeah. But yeah, we can take a break. I also wrote a song about the more romantic endeavors in Fallout. Why do I keep saying that?
Fallout 2.
In Fallout 2, also. Weren't there like prostitutes in that game?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, so
this is about them,
you know,
and not Fable 2.
Right. Maybe more about Fable 2 than Fallout, but you know, there are some influences, some creative influence. Peter Molyneux never copped to it.
No.
But I know it's there. Girl, I met you passing through Bower Stone. Why can't we be alone? Just you and me. Without these 23 other villagers standing around. Don't they have other things to do when I'm farting in your face for Peter Molyneux?
Thanks for putting that in.
No problem. Oh, girl, our love is like a fable. Even though it smells a bit like a horse's stable. Because when I broke out in flatulent song, I went on a little too long, and I crapped my new sarong that my dog dug up with a condom. But back to you and me, or maybe us three. There's a housewife back in Oakville. I've
concerned about sexual. My Russian dancing was quite effectual and I've acquired us a home by killing the family who lived there before. I busted down the door and let myself in. Yes, I suppose that it's a sin, but I'll just fart around the town until I'm once again renowned. Oh girl, our love is like a fable. Even though I seem unable to communicate with you, but with my flexing, my caressing, with my farts, you will know what's in my heart. With my farts, you will know. With my flexing, my caressing, with my farts, you will know what's in my heart. With my farts, you will know what's in my heart.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to us. Because we're back.
We're here.
Jake remains almost dead.
But my love for video games is keeping me alive. It's keeping me going.
No one heard that.
I know.
Sweet.
It's erased. Anyway, we're back.
I heard you played Far Cry, Chris.
I did, actually. Jake did, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I only got to play about an hour of it so far, which is a lot less than I was hoping to play so far, but
yeah, fair enough.
So
I read some negative stuff about it. Some people really didn't like it.
No, you know what's weird about this game, actually? Like, since you mentioned that, I've seen one of the strangest kind of like excitement curves on the internet for this game that I've seen in a long time. I mean, I shouldn't say uniformly, but definitely, like, when the game came out, there were a whole lot of less than enthusiastic comments about it. And like it's been out for almost a week now, I guess a week now.
Yeah.
And like, they seem to be, people seem to increasingly
feel warming to it. Sort of?
Yeah. Like every day I'll see more posts that are like, oh man, I was totally wrong about this game. This is amazing.
Well, that's cool. I mean, is it just people's expectations and plus the hype, like, multiplied more so than usual in this case?
I think it's, there's always an element of that to games. But this one, I think, more so than most, because it's not a very, like, inviting or approachable game, really. There's a certain amount, like, well, it's an open world game, you know, obviously. But also on top of that, like, it's not the kind of thing where there's no, there's a little bit of tutorial stuff at the beginning where you kind of start out and the game, you know, has some very scripted encounters that a lot of times you're not even in control, as it kind of teaches you some basic things about, like, the medicine you need to take when you come down with malaria, and, you know, the kind of way the death system works, sort of, and how to shoot a gun and stuff. But after that, you just kind of get dropped into the world, and the entire world is open to you right from the get-go. And it's really sort of overwhelming in a way that's different from, like, a Bethesda game or something.
Like, compared to Far Cry 1, I've been less overwhelmed by 2, personally. Like, 1, I just basically got raped in half over and over again and had no idea if I was even basically going where I was supposed to be going until I found a Jeep with a road. And then I was like, oh, I guess I should go on this road.
Yeah.
Oh.
That game's kind of different, though, because it's not really an open world game.
That's true, but I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually weird how little in common this game has with Far Cry 1. Like, I mean, would you agree with that? Because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely... And this is sort of amplified by discussions I've had with Clint Hawking, the creative director, and Patrick Redding, the narrative designer. Like, I definitely get the sense that they basically, like, needed a way to sell this game. And so, I guess it's a Far Cry sequel.
Right.
Like, I don't... You know, I mean, I...
The sort of core ideas behind it could have not obviously had the Far Cry name and would have been
right,
the same
exactly.
Game.
Like, there's no persistence in terms of the story or the character or the setting or anything. But it's good. Like, it's just really weird. Like, you start off and you've got to do a lot of driving to get your missions, and everywhere you go, there's like groups of dudes who fucking just jump on you and try to kill you immediately, I guess, for being a foreigner, like in their country. Like they're, they don't seem to require any identification. Yeah,
that sort of stuff is kind of too bad to me sometimes, but
yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Video games.
Well, yeah.
And like, that's kind of the, I think that a lot of people get that impression at first where everything seems just like really muted and kind of unwelcoming.
Traditional? I mean, in the sense that, you know, the guys are just sort of shooting at you. And I mean, it's more of just like a basic shooter to start out. And then you sort of unravel the systems that make it interesting. Or is it?
It stays a shooter for sure. But
well, I know it's a shooter, but you know what I'm saying? Like if you're talking about basic, just, you know, everything, every guy's shooting at you or.
Yeah. And, I don't even know if it's that it's, well, that's possibly, that's probably part of it. Although I think most people just like find it just not very inviting. Like, when they start off, and I think that,
I guess that's what I mean. Like, yeah, if you don't know anything about how to, you know, approach a situation from from, you know,
yeah, I mean,
because I mean a big part of it's obviously, you know, going stealth or, you know, finding different ways to attack camps and stuff, right?
Yeah, although I find that harder to do than in like Crysis or something.
Yeah,
like it's hard to be stealthy in this game. I find people notice me from ridiculously far away. Sometimes, like the AI could be better, but
is it? This is a potentially stupid question to people who are listening to this who have actually played a huge amount of Far Cry, and especially coming from me. But can I not shoot for shit? Or I mean, I know there are guns that are consistently kind of ass in that game, but yeah. are they generally ass throughout the game, like in a way that they're not supposed to be? Or am I just horrible?
Well, when you pick up guns, they suck a lot.
Yes,
like any gun you can pick up in that game is basically a total piece of shit, and it will jam on you after, you know.
Yeah.
A few minutes of use.
Yeah, I figured that part out.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, are you talking? So you're talking about guns you buy then?
Yeah. I mean, I just suck at games.
Because guns you buy are of better quality. But I mean, you can also do missions for the gun dealers, and like that'll unlock better guns, like of more variety and quality. So there's that. But yeah, like that's
guns.
That's actually another like thing, actually, that can be a turnoff early in the game, I think, probably. In a first-person shooter, like, you're so accustomed to just, like, picking up all the weapons you find.
Super polished shit and then just destroying people. But yeah, but in this game, you pick up, like, a rust bucket.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, like, one of the game's biggest sort of challenges and yet also one of its biggest successes.
I've loved that. I love that you find a gun and it's like, oh, well, you sort of equip it for a second, like, wait, what? And then you just take its ammo and go. And that's really actually pretty enjoyable experience.
It's cool because you can see how shitty they are. Like, the rustier they are.
Yeah, like when I first you had told me about that before I was playing, but when I first encountered that in the game a couple times, I was actually pretty happy, and like moments like that and sort of design decisions like that are what has kept me interested in that game, even though sort of at its core I'm not a huge open world fan, as we discussed last week.
Yeah.
Like it just
we did. It makes you feel like an old man.
It does. It goes against goes against my old man nature. But this game, like so far, I mean, like only a couple hours in, I haven't been destroyed. Like the sort of my personal gaming destruction has not.
you don't feel that old yet.
Yeah, it hasn't outweighed the sort of discovery of cool things in this game that make me happy.
It must
be
really difficult to make a design decision like that. I mean, to the, you know, where you're really
we're gonna make all the guns shit in this game.
Yeah, right. Like right off
we're
the bat,
a first person shooter. Yeah. Shooting is stupid.
All the guns you find at the beginning make you suck. They're annoying to use. The other guys probably all have better
guns.
They
don't really work. They'll probably break on you.
You'll be using them and
you will die a lot. Game's not fun. I mean, what? No.
Not that last part. It's pretty fun, actually.
No, that's good.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, but Nick, that's true. I mean, like, that's the kind of decision that isn't uncommon in, like, certain Western RPGs. You know, like, sort of item degradation. Like, I guess that's not super common, but you know, things like encumbrance
and stuff.
It exists as
a concept,
like,
though.
Yeah. This game doesn't have encumbrance, by the way. I'm just bringing it up as like an example of things that are those kind of those kind of weird, fiddly, like management, micromanagement bits that
but, I mean,
usually aren't in shooters.
This isn't really micromanaging so much as it just sort of takes some of those aspects.
Yeah.
It takes you can have a shitty gun aspect.
A classic aspect. Not so classic.
It's an aspect.
I mean, you know, that stuff both works, I think, works for and against the game. Like, it works against the game because that first impression, like, all that stuff can be frustrating. Like, you know, your vehicle can get fucked up and you got to get out and, like, manually wrench the engine until it's fixed. And, like, you know, you enemies take sometimes a surprisingly high amount of shots to kill, at least with the early weapons. And, you know, shit's fucking breaking on you and you're passing out from malaria.
I mean,
and, like,
do you think it's just
everyone hates you?
Like, I feel like you and I, like, at least both when we were sort of in tandem with the number of hours we'd put in, had had a pretty similar, pretty positive first impressions with the game.
Yeah, but I'm trying to lay out reasons why other people might not.
Oh, right. No, but I mean, I think like our outlook on games is definitely not, I don't think, that we sit down on a couch, put the game in and say, all right, fucking impress me, game. I'm waiting to be impressed by how fucking sweet this is. Yeah. And I think some people are like, what are you going to do for me today, video game?
Well, sometimes I feel like that.
Yeah, but like, with this game, at least, my expectation was like, I'm going to like I'm going to have to earn this game's respect,
basically. The opposite of a Valve
game. Like, so far, I haven't gotten far enough for it to let me down on that.
Right.
Because I've only played for a couple hours, but I'm sort of operating under the assumption that if I put up with this game's shit, it's going to reward me potentially far more greatly than a game that just gives it all up front, basically.
I mean, that's kind of the promise, of generative design, like, sort of emergent game and design and gameplay and stuff. And it's a promise that I think some people don't care about one way or the other. Like, I think some people literally just aren't interested in that style of game, and that's fine. And I mean, Jake, you're, I think, often like sort of fall more into that type where you're not necessarily as interested in that style, but like, it's cool that this game is,
I'm interested in it as a concept, but just when I'm playing it, I usually
but you're saying in this game, at least for now, I mean, you're only a couple hours in, but you're saying, you know, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there have just been enough moment-to-moment things that have sort of just made me excited at a purely conceptual level. Or, like, just fucking cool. I'm playing a first-person shooter where I'm walking around with a piece of shit. Like, that's enough to excite me to be like...
That's true. I love the idea that... I mean
that one example, which I keep bringing to, but it was really refreshing for a game to sort of give me an anti-reward. Like, it's like... I mean, it is kind of like the Metroid thing where you're a badass, except that you don't get the part where you're a badass. You just... It's like... But you... The fact that there is a shitty gun in my hand implies that later on in the game, there like
somehow a good gun will make it
right.
In your
like
hand.
If I've got this now, like there, like this game has a long ways to go. Basically, it's like I'm the opposite of I've seen it all in the first hour of this game, which
is
cool.
What Far Cry 2 tries to be, and like it definitely has some flaws. Like enemies respawn too quickly. I think pretty much everyone agrees that can be frustrating as shit when you got to drive all over the map all the time. But like. What it tries to do is sort of give you a landscape and a bunch of tools and then kind of just say, like, if you invest yourself in this, cool shit will happen. And I've had that actually happen a lot in this game. And, like, I didn't get it early or anything. I bought it when it came out, and I've been playing it since then. And, like, you know how game designers, Will Wright is, like, the fucking king this, like, are always saying things like, you know, the real story is the story that you make when you play the game. And I'm like, you know, Will Wright, you're awesome, but that doesn't really happen to me very much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not generally how I think about my games. Like, Far Cry 2 is actually, that's happened to me a lot. Like, I already find myself relating stories from that game when I'm talking to people.
Was it you who was talking about seeing the animal off in the distance, or was that Steve?
Oh, that was me. Like, yeah, at this one point, I mean, this isn't even, it's such a minor thing.
Well,
but like
the only one that you've told me.
Right, okay, fair enough. Yeah, so I was talking to Jake, and I was scouting out this camp of dudes that I was trying to figure out how to kill. There's a guy in a building, and I'm like, how am I going to get to this dude? And like, I saw some movement over to my left, and I had my sniper rifle, and I like quickly zoomed over and almost shot at it, and it was like a gazelle that was just kind of that had just like lifted up like out of the grass and was like trotting away, and it was the craziest. I mean, it's super minor. It seems almost silly to like relate that story, but it was so surprising to me and such a cool thing, and so much put me in that place. Like, it drew me into that setting so well. That's, in fact, I think one of the biggest things about it. Like, it's surprisingly unflashy graphics wise. Like, it's not, you know, there's no like crazy fucking insane shading going on and like no insane lighting all over the place. It's just like a very convincing, very subdued depiction of,
yeah, when
like,
it works, it's got a great
African
amount of
savannas.
Sort of tone going to it, for it.
And like, you know, when if you come to a sand dune and the sun's shining down on it, like if you're at high noon, it's so bright white that everything just gets completely bleached out. It's just really cool. Like, I don't see stuff like that in games very often. And one of my favorite things to do is to go to a safe house when you can go to sleep and set like a clock so you wake up at a certain hour and you regain all your health back. I pretty much always wake up at 5 a.m. So that I see the sunrise. And it's just like the most amazingly gorgeous thing. And then I spend the next couple hours of the game like watching as the sun sort of comes fully up in the sky and like all these lighting conditions are changing in real time. And it's just so goddamn gorgeous. And that's another thing that
you're saying it's a tech demo.
I'm saying it's a tech demo. It's basically Oblivion with guns.
Two.
And, but it's a lot of these things are things that I've like, I definitely enjoyed the game, like, from the beginning. I definitely, you know, unlike some people, I had a pretty positive experience right from the start. But I keep, like, every time I play it, there's some new little detail or touch that really impresses me. Like, the way fire propagates is so cool and so uncommon in games. I mean, I've taken out camps of dudes just by shooting a flare gun into the ground. And it's so satisfying to see just everything go up in flames and trees kind of, all the leaves slowly burn off. It's just...
Seems like that. That's the one comment that seems to be everybody who buys that game is like, "Hey man, I had a lot of fun setting things on fire, but I'm not really sure where to go."
Yeah, right. Well, there's a certain point after you finish like the first mission, the first kind of like missions that are automatically given to you. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I went on forums to look for. I had like a technical question about the game, and I ended up seeing other people's just gameplay accounts, and like other people had a totally different first mission than I did. Which was really surprising to me because I totally assumed that stuff was kind of set in stone for the first, like, the ones that you get without selecting anything. But they were different for different people, and I think it's based on which starting character you choose. Because there's 8 different characters. But anyway, so after you kind of go through the first line of quests, you go to your mission log, and it's just like, find a quest. And you look at your map, and there's like 5 different places you can go to get a quest. And it was really surprising to me. Mm-hmm. That's pretty uncommon in a first-person shooter. I mean, that's, you know, cool, something though, like Stalker does that, but like, not very many games do.
Yeah,
it's not really common. Yeah. There's actually so much I want to say about this game, and I feel like it's just been me sitting here talking, so I don't really think I should. But I don't know. I hope people stick with it and kind of give it a fair, like, admittedly suffer through some of the things that are just irritating. Like, yeah. Respawn rate is ridiculous. It is kind of. Sometimes the amount of driving gets pretty irritating. Like, that stuff is annoying. But so many of the moments that occur along the way are just so hilarious. Like, I don't know. I don't want to keep playing
like
into
animals
it,
but... falling out of a tree, and then, like, the footage reverses and he goes back up into the tree.
Benny Hill music in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like...
I don't know what they were going for with that, but...
Well, when I first played... I told this to Jake, actually, when I first started playing, but, like, my first experience... with Fallout, or why do I keep fucking saying that? Every game is Fallout 2, regardless of what game you are. If it starts with an F, it's fucking Fallout. That's it. No, my first experience with Far Cry 2 was like starting off, and then you thought I was going to say it.
Yeah, I was hoping for it.
These guys are giving me looks. I started out, and you know, this was before I had any like sort of understanding about how the game world works. And you know, you collect diamonds in the game, that's currency, and you do it via kind of a No Country for Old Men style, like, little beeping beacon device. It's very, very low tech. It's like very basic. You know, I start off and I got this car. It was like this shitty sedan. The quest NPC just gives it to you at the beginning just to give you a means of transportation. And I'm like, all right, got my car, driving around. And like, my little light on my dashboard started blinking. I'm like, sweet, a diamond. So I got out and I was kind of like holding it and walking through and looking down at the map, which is integrated like into the actual. It's like a 3D object in the game.
Yeah, your guy holds it in first person, which is pretty awesome.
And I was like, following along, looking around. I finally find it. I'm like, sweet, I found it. And then I'm like, shit, where the hell did I leave my fucking car? And like, I'm just in the middle of this like forest. And I'm like looking around and it's just forest in every direction. And I'm like, oh, god damn it. So I just start like walking on my map in the direction of like where I'm going. And then my guy starts like passing out from malaria. He starts like coughing and like falling over. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? And I don't have any malaria medicine because I haven't done the mission like... for more malaria medicine. And like, so I'm basically screwed. And so I fall over and I die and I'm like, ah, god damn it. So someone rescues me and I wake up in a safe house and I go out and I'm like, all right, getting in my car, like doing this right. Getting in my car, going to the right place. Fuck the diamonds. I'll get those later. I'm going to go get my medicine. And so I'm like driving along and I'm like checking my map and I'm like going the right direction, going there on the road. And then when you look at your map in your car, you have to actually physically look down, like with, you know, mouse look or like
your
analog
stick. Yeah, it's
built
into the dash in your car.
Right. Well, it's,
oh,
like,
it's sort of like a little GPS. Actually, thing.
You hold up the map.
Oh, like, that thing. I thought you were talking about the little driving map.
No, that thing's useless. I mean, it's
fair
it's,
enough. I never actually used it.
Right. It's not very useful. You can use the full map while driving. So I'm looking down and like, I'm like, all right, I'm going the right way. And I look up, and as soon as I look up, I'm like in the air going into like a river. And it was like the most ridiculous, like when you read on the news, it's like, I was just changing the radio station, man. And like, then
yeah,
you're
you sadly
wrapped
like
around a tree.
Ended up in like, yeah, the Yeah, the Crocodile Hunter movie.
Right. Yeah, it was like that exact moment. And like, I get out of the car and I was like, I was so sad.
Because if you would look down, your guy's hands would have been on his hips. And like, right.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the little like back half of the car was like sticking out at like a 30 degree angle. And like, it was really sad. It was one of like the saddest moments I've had in a video game recently.
It's like a lot of this game, that car. The fun of this game is dependent on like how frustrated you would get with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How much patience you have. Right. Like,
if you're able to step back and laugh at life, you will like it. Right, yeah.
You know, if losing your car and dying and having to go back to the beginning and then dying again doesn't bother you, if you think that's awesome. But
those are amazingly, like, I don't know. They're not amazingly unique. I'm sure that people have had those scenarios, but Those are totally things that you did that are dumb.
It's hard.
It's all hard. On it's, your own.
Yeah. I'm great at video games and bad. Like, it's hard to convey why this stuff like actually affected me. Because if this stuff happened in most games, and I mean, obviously I've crashed a car into the fucking river before in a video game. Like, but the way that Far Cry 2 operates, it's kind of like how I felt in GTA 4. Like when I first went across like the equivalent of the Brooklyn Bridge and I had to stand in line and then pay the toll, like that made me so excited. And I can't really qualify why. Like it was such a surprising, like great moment to like be waiting my turn in line, get to the front, like have my little character reach out the window and give the guy $4 or whatever. And then watch the little $4 tick away from my money count and then go on my way. And like, it was such a real, that's the way to describe it, I guess. It was like a real moment of the kind that I don't usually experience in video games. Like,
I don't know what you're talking
about. I fucking hate you.
I just shot that guy and then went into the river.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe no one cares about this stuff, but like, I don't know. I find myself really sort of impressed when, and the river stuff with the car is not a thing that the Far Cry 2 team actually put into the game deliberately, but I feel like they've constructed a world with the goal of making things like that happen. Like the fact that you've got to take your medicine, the fact that you've got to repair your guns, the fact that you've got to like drive to the town and like get your mission.
Right. And that if you want to check your map, you have to actually sort of do the in-game equivalent of laying it on your lap or like putting it against the steering wheel. I mean, it's not presented quite like that, but it is.
Right. Yeah.
Tweaking
it's
things just enough.
Like
to
you feel that well, same way.
Setting you up for disaster.
Even running around when you have the map open. Like if you hold still, the guy will raise the map up. But if you try to move, like, it is the equivalent of when you're like late for something in the city and you've got your Google map printout. Like, this is the stupidest analogy. I'm sorry, because it's Far Cry 2 versus being late for like a stupid appointment in San Francisco. Right. But
forgot
like
my malaria.
I find myself doing that in Far Cry where like I want to get there really badly.
Yeah.
And I run with the map open and I find myself sort of like vaguely sort of taking glances
trying to, like,
at the map.
Track it up and down.
Right. As
like
the guy's hand is like throwing the map around with the run animation. I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I can kind of see the road there. And all right, well, the map's blocking the view most of the way. But I think if I just sort of vaguely turn left, all right, great. Good. There we go. And, that made me really happy because I felt like I was actually
like
a guy in a hurry. And it's like, right, I could just stop. There's no actual rush. Why am I freaking out? Put the goddamn map away. Like, that made me happy. I'm sure that, I don't know, I didn't get to the part where the game sucks yet, so.
20 more hours of that. So, I don't know. I mean, that's a vague.
Of malaria pills and crashing a car into the river.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty of emergent stuff that can happen in the combat, too. It's just, that stuff is less surprising to me, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
We've seen that kind of thing before.
But it is cool. I mean, like, you know, they do. It definitely is a video game in that they conveniently set up situations where right in the middle of this camp, there might be like 8 explodey barrels and a lot of ammo that you can shoot at with
a caco demon.
Like, yeah. Right. A caco demon. Nice.
It might be there.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, some of the missions are
it's
sort
DLC.
Of amusingly completable if you have the right equipment, like in a very short period of time. Like I had to blow up a train in a train yard and I just went up to like the top of a mountain, overlook it and shot one rocket at the train and like everything just fucking went up in flames. That's instantly cool. And it was like,
did you walk away in slow motion like silhouetted holding your rocket launcher over your shoulder?
Yeah,
because that's pretty much what you did. I think
I actually did immediately turn around and go away so that no one would notice me. So I mean, you know, you could
so
pretend
like,
that did that
if
you,
it was the a cinematographer over on the next hill was definitely right. Filming you at like 300 frames a second
right
then.
Right.
So that's good.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Clint Hawking was secretly in your game recording a demo.
Yeah. Man, did you guys see Clint Hawking was like not happy that they're getting high 80s on Metacritic?
No.
He's not happy about it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. He was like something to the effect of, it looks like we're tracking to get 86 to 89 on Metacritic. Not happy with that. Not happy at all. Something to that effect. So,
man, I don't know what to tell you, man. Didn't get that 9.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's that goddamn kid. When like when you like scrape a B minus and you're stoked, and then there's that one goddamn kid who goes up like who goes up to the like, teacher's right. desk because he got an A minus when he should be getting an A. Like,
yeah.
I mean in this case. Yeah. In this case, Clint only managed to scrape a B plus.
Right.
So
Jake has no sympathy.
Yeah.
For no. Mr. Hawking.
I wonder how that game's gonna do. I mean
I'm really curious. I feel like it's the kind of game where they maybe should have released it quarter one.
Yeah. It's. I think it might get a little
Merry
lost here.
Merry Christmas.
Like, how do you compete with, especially when your game is like, you can go anywhere and do what you want, and Bethesda's like, you can go anywhere and do what you want in Fallout 3. We've been hyping it for a billion years.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're hoping that just because it says Far Cry and then says 2.
Yeah.
That, but that, I mean, that'll do part of its work for it.
Yeah.
If you go and look at idlethumbs.net, and look at the synopsis of games we've discussed.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's like 2, 2, 2, Roman numeral 2, 3, Roman numeral 3.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like it's.
And then we were talking about last week. Oh, and Oblivion, which is Elder Scrolls 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's true.
Yeah. And this week will be more of the same. It might actually be the exact same games from last week.
Yeah. That's a good point. We should.
This week we've played.
Think
them.
Of new things. Yeah. Well, we could talk about.
Oh, I was going to say just.
Yeah.
In terms of Far Cry 2 being a 2, I'm sure that it was. We have this game design. How can we get them to do it? Unless Clint Hawking had a secret dream of telling of African creating dreams. A completely original universe with this, the universe in which this game takes place doesn't seem to be that relevant given that you can choose from 6 potential protagonists and it's open world.
Right.
So I think he said, here's my crazy game, and Ubisoft said, well, if we call it Far Cry 2, then we can actually sell it.
Yeah.
That's so much better to me than you can't make this game. Also, this company over here is going to make a really shitty cash in Far Cry 2.
Right.
Like, that's what actually
usually
happens. I mean,
Ubisoft basically did the shitty cash in Far Cry.
Right, for instance, console Far Cry ports.
Right.
Or sequel expansion.
Far Cry Instincts, Predator Instincts.
Oh, man, that's the game where you have the crazy, weird, like, rubber mutant hands?
Yeah.
That's also the game that blew up your sound system. Remember that when you'd throw a pebble and your speakers just went...
Yeah.
Who knows what that was? It was made that game surreal.
In the original Far Cry, or not the original Far Cry, which was a PC game, but like
this is the inspiration for Far Cry. Right. Far Cry Instincts,
the prequel,
the Far Cry Instincts, like Xbox game. There was a crazy fucking bug on I don't know which version. There were like 8 different fucking versions of this game on Xbox, but whichever one I had, like when you could pick up like rocks and stuff and throw them to distract people like with sounds. But every time I threw a rock, like a little fucking pebble, it sounded like fucking Niagara Falls. It was just like the crazy explosion. Like it blew out my speakers. Like literally it fucked up my speakers on my TV.
Nice.
At the time I played, I had just gotten that TV. And
it was
so
your new
I was using like the built-in speakers because I hadn't hooked it up to anything yet.
Yeah.
And I guess I won't be using them anymore.
That was the saddest net. Like, oh, hey, a new Far Cry for Xbox. Let's check it out. Oh, this doesn't seem very good. What's happening?
Yeah. Not only was the game idiotic, like it also destroyed my shit. So that sucked my balls.
But yeah,
I forgot about that completely.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm glad that instead of the obvious route, which is you want to make this weird, ambitious, open world first person shooter. No. Hey, we have the Far Cry IP. Let's make a horrible sequel. They ended up teaming up to make the suits happy and the Hawking happy.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's good.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Just one thing I forgot to mention about Fallout, which I was meaning to mention, but it's sort of in
relation. You're re-railing.
Sort of in relation to what we were talking about, like as far as how ambitious or how you might get frustrated, but how it's more rewarding. The amount of content in Fallout that you will not see going through the main quest is really surprising to me. Strategy.
You've only played through it once, how do you know that?
Well, I've got the strategy guide.
Oh.
And I can compare there are a huge number of
you tore quests. Out every page that contained a quest you completed.
And there was so
I wrote
many
it
pages
in the notes.
Left.
notes. Yeah. The autograph section.
Games still sometimes have that, the little notes section at the back. Yeah.
The Fallout thing has it.
But, sweet. Yeah. I think Sam and Max for the Wii has a notes section, which made me pretty happy to find out. Like, really?
Huh? Sweet. Someone will take a note.
Yeah.
So anyway, Nick.
It was just surprising to me that you know, that a developer is still willing to make that much content that most people probably aren't going to see, considering, you know, a lot of games don't even get finished these days, you know?
Yeah, right. It's amazing if you can actually dedicate the time and money to do that.
It sort of blew me away. Yeah. I mean, like, obviously Oblivion was what it was, but I figured, you know, Fallout 3 was meant to be a more scaled back,
denser,
you know, it's, from what they were saying, it seemed like more of a directed experience, but there's still that.
From what you're saying, though, it is still more dense and more direct than Oblivion. It's just...
Yeah, but it's good that they kept that aspect, though. There are still, yeah. It's sort of surprising.
And I'm sure there'll be plenty of dudes who find all of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
No, I probably wouldn't either, but I'm really looking forward to play it. And actually, since you bring that up, I might as well mention the connection like that I was going to mention earlier with Far Cry. Mm-hmm. Far Cry 2 also sort of has allowances for if you kill major quest NPCs, but it does it seamlessly, and I don't think anyone is going to notice, honestly. Mm. Like, the way that it constructs its quest line is actually dynamic based on what character you chose at the beginning, like who your buddies are that you end up acquiring throughout the game. Like, the game has like these buddies who will sort of give you alternate routes on missions, which is really awesome, and rescue you if you die and things. Like, it's really awesome. I didn't really talk about it, but I really, really like that system in the game. Like, it allows you some options as to how you approach missions. In addition to just sort of how you personally approach killing the dudes, it gives you options on which dudes to kill and when.
Yeah.
But also, so anyway, the way you do those actually contributes to factors that build the quest line in terms of what the missions are and who the quest NPCs are and stuff. But it's done so seamlessly in the background that I wonder, like, how many people are actually going to pick up on it. Probably none, because the whole point is that it's done seamlessly. Which, I mean, it's kind of like... I mean, Nick, I don't know if you ever played Monkey Island 2. Jake, obviously you have.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, no, I mean... Well, because, okay, just this was like a really ridiculous example, but like...
A game with only one critical path.
No, but I'm talking about... No, I'm talking about the adaptive music system in that game, which...
Oh, okay. Like, oh, no, that's a fair comparison, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like, that nobody knows that it's there.
Right, but it's really good. Like, in Monkey Island 2, when you go from screen to screen, the way that the music changes isn't like just sort of a crossfade like most games would do, or kind of like a change in track with like ending a transition then starting a new one. Like, it actually layers in sort of musical themes and interlaces them dynamically as you go between the different locations. It's really cool.
And, yeah, like, they wrote breaks in and out of like every measure, or yeah, pretty much, or if not every measure, at least every bar. It seems like there's some sort of way to
a bar.
Is it? No, my apologies. I don't know how music works. I do a little bit. I know those two terms exist.
Congratulations.
But yeah, it's cool. You can go back to talking. Video games.
No, that's fine. And like, it was really impressive and really cool, but like, surely hardly anybody noticed because it was done so well. That's like kind of the problem with doing anything interactive really well, because if you do it well enough, it shouldn't be obvious that there's a split.
Right.
Like, you should feel like in real life, when you make a choice, you're not, there's no seam that like sort of where you can imply, like infer.
And with games, it's so much easier to make that a feature or a selling point when it isn't that. You know what I mean? Where you can point to it and say, like, this is what you're going to do, as opposed to, like, you might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And I hope that with Far Cry 2, I mean, maybe with the internet around. Well, I mean, the people who are going to notice it on the internet are the same sort of people who would have noticed that Monkey Island 2 had interactive.
So, right, yeah.
But there was no internet back then. I mean...
No, but the moment the internet appeared, one of the first things that I found was a page talking about...
Oh, really?
iMuse. Yes.
Yeah, I found Munkle Land, who is the composer of the Monkey Island games, the main composer on the Monkey Island games. I ran into him at GDC several years ago, and I went up to him and I'm like, oh man, I really like the music in Monkey Island 2. And he was like, like, he had such a weird, like, he sort of was like not really paying attention to what I was saying, and kind of just, and I'm like, yeah, man, I really loved all that like interactive sort of blending and stuff. Like, I'm like a music major, and this is really cool. And like, as soon as I said that, he's like, oh man, you like that stuff? That's great. And he got really excited because clearly nobody fucking noticed it, because he was so like disinterested when I brought it up in the first place. And it wasn't until I brought up that aspect of it.
I think
he
might have been there. It was when Psychonauts was in sort of mid production. It might have been Spaff, another Idle Thumbs guy, who was there. But I remember asking Tim Schafer, if Psychonauts was going to feature interactive music in the style of some of those old older games, and he goes, nah, I don't know if anyone even knows that that's in the game.
Yeah.
It made me really sad. I'm sure it makes all composers sad.
Well, yeah,
a surprising number of game composers know about interactive music and love it.
Yeah,
but no one knows about it.
I mean, it's starting to get fairly common, but probably a lot of people aren't as ambitious with it as they could be because it's just why dedicate that budget.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, but also I think part of Far Cry 2, like part of what they were intending with that game was it to sort of be like a first pass at some of that stuff, and like hopefully in the future using those systems they developed and implementing them in more sort of substantial ways for a game that isn't purely a first-person shooter. Like in Far Cry 2, pretty much all the meaningful interaction you have with anyone is either get a mission from them or shoot them in the face. Like,
right, yeah.
There isn't, you're not going through dialogue trees or something, but you
but get, perhaps in Far Cry 3, you fall in love.
Far Cry 3, it's a love simulator set in Russia, like based on like the relevance of these games to one another so far. But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I have huge respect for Clint Hawking and his team, and like also Patrick Redding, who I've mentioned a few times, because I think the stuff those guys are doing is really cool. And I hope that they continue to like work on those systems and use them in future games. Cool. So yeah.
So yeah, other than being physically ravaged by this week and playing those two games, have we got anything else? Any other games you guys have been playing?
I finished Dead Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, we're like 2 weeks late on that at this point, but
yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I recommend it. It's really cool. I mean, it's I feel like probably at this point, a lot of our listeners have already played it, so.
Or have decided they'll never play it.
Right.
But it's really good. Actually, one thing I do want to mention about, this isn't really about the game entirely, but do you guys ever notice on the internet people sort of arguing about whether a game is scary or not? Because that's happening like times a thousand with Dead Space.
That's such a subjective thing.
I know, exactly. Yeah, that's my point. Like, I was like, so man, I'm playing this game and like I'm getting pretty freaked out here. Yeah.
No.
Like, nope, not scary. You're wrong. Not a scary game. Not frightening at all. You idiot. I mean, that's like saying Resident Evil 4 is scary. And the guy's like, but I didn't think that was scary.
Yeah.
You fucking jerk. You're wrong. You fucking, I hate you. And it's like, well, that's like arguing about whether asparagus tastes good. Like, you can fucking argue about
it
whether.
It does.
You're an idiot. It's gross.
It's like arguing whether or not asparagus is scary. That's probably what I thought you were going to say.
I should have.
Someone might be afraid of asparagus.
Yeah, someone probably is. But it's like you can argue about, you know, I mean, I guess just on the topic of asparagus, like you can argue whether it's like nutritionally, you know, like good for you or I don't know, fucking other things maybe. I don't know what the hell you argue about when it comes to asparagus. But, you know, there's no, like, you can't, you're not going to change someone's mind about that.
We're, of course, talking about Asparagus Mania Double Rush for Xbox Live Arcade.
For the Atari Lynx.
No.
No, man.
This is like the remix.
Oh, I was thinking
it's got the original and it's got the new HD up-res
version. But I don't know.
It's fucking terrifying too. It's weird. I wouldn't expect that out of a casual game like
especially
asparagus.
One about asparagus.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just keep seeing these threads over and over on like a number of different sort of forums and stuff on the internet. It's like I don't like what are you trying to achieve there? Like you can talk about whether it's a good game and like I think you know you can have a discussion about that, but like. Whether it's scary, no one's going to fucking change their mind about that. Anyway.
Right, exactly. Like, oh, you're right. I was terrified. You're right. I wasn't scared.
You're right. I'm not scared at all.
I was just writing an elaborate post here. Just
yeah.
It's no.
Like, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to just sort of mention
I mean,
that.
Maybe that guy's trying to belittle the other guy, like bully him. Like, no,
right.
You're right, you guys. I'm not scared
I'm
of it.
Not
yeah,
scared.
I was oh, God. As he's like sliding it down under his bed, never to play it ever again. It's not scary.
Yeah.
Dead Space.
Sweet.
Yep.
So there's my insight into Dead Space.
Into the internet.
Into the internet.
Speaking of the internet.
Yeah, we can read some mail. We didn't get a lot of mail this week. You guys should send us more mail. Questions@idlethumbs.net.
What kind of questions would they ask?
I don't know.
Ask us about anything.
Things. We went, Nick and I went and saw the Creative Assembly's new game, Empire Total War.
Yeah.
So maybe send us questions about that. It's all about empires and Total War. It's actually pretty awesome. Like, if we had more time, we probably would have talked about it.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about that game. Or other things. Next week, you can ask us about Left 4 Dead also.
Oh, yes.
Because Nick will play a lot of that in particular.
You love Left 4 Dead.
I do.
It's awesome. James Spafford, who we all know, you may not know, says, hello, guys. How are you today?
I'm all right. A little tired.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're all having a subdued day today. Also, I have another question, he writes. Please don't count that one, like some sort of genie situation. Okay?
I counted it. I'm sorry.
It's been counted. I would like to know if the police sirens that continually interrupt the podcast denote that Chris lives in an area of low moral fiber that needs regular policing, or if it means the area is in fact of high moral standing due to the excellent and vigilant work of the local police. That's a pretty good question.
You might live at a crossroads.
On Market Street, which anyone who lives in San Francisco knows is like the biggest street that cuts all the way through like all of downtown and stuff.
It contains the market.
So it's where the market is. There's actually two farmers markets basically on Market Street.
It's Farmers Market Street.
So that means that it's pretty common for fire engines or police cars, if they have to get somewhere on the other side of the city, they will often get there via Market Street.
They take Monday nights off, though, as you've noticed.
No, there was one. There was already one today. Yeah. Jake, you're wrong.
They don't take it off.
Also, like, I guess on the note of whether I live in an area of low or high moral fiber, on that note, actually, I live like at this weird sort of crossroads where, like, if you go in one direction, there's like the Opera House and City Hall and like gardens and shit, and it's like, wow, you live in a nice area. And if you walk the other direction, it's like
porno theaters.
Yeah, it's like Joe's Porn Shack and stuff. So, you know, I depends on the direction you come in, like to my apartment, then it might look awesome or lame.
That must present a lot of like moral quandaries.
Like, yeah,
which side do you?
I know,
go
it's kind of like I'm playing a
you
video
choose.
Game.
Yes, yes.
All right. Toblix writes, he has a long thing here. Chris, did you remember to do a hilarious Peter Molyneux impression today? No. If not, take a couple of minutes right now and do one. Maybe. As for a question, I guess I could pull one out of my ass like this. If you played Uncharted all the way through, you probably noticed that the ending chapters were not spectacularly hard or brutal with regards to checkpoint placement, like, for example, GTA 4, the ending of... God, he goes on and on. Did you, like me, find this to be truly awesome and an example for other games to follow, since it really lets... This is like a leading question to the extreme. Since it really lets the story flow.
Do you agree with me? Yes, no. Check one.
Did you guys play Uncharted?
No.
No.
No?
Did you play it?
No. So I guess we agree with you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know about more about it than I do.
Right on, Toblix.
We should defer to your superior judgment.
Yes.
This email is primarily a reminder to do the impression, though. I don't even remember what the Molyneux voice was.
Did you ever do one?
Yeah, I did one on the second episode, I think.
Oh.
I don't know. Man, ask me again next week. I'll have to go back and listen to my source material. Grabby says, this is the only gaming podcast I listen to labeled as explicit in iTunes.
Thank you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Balls.
Balls.
Sweet.
Gog.
Was there a question there?
Nope.
It's just a statement.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, and also a few people have commented on wanting to download the songs that we feature in this podcast. You can actually already do that. They're right on the front page of the website if you scroll down a bit. So
that's idlethumbs.net.
Idlethumbs.net. Go.
I thought it was .com.
It's .net.
It's, yeah. The other one is what you need when you need it. But
yeah. You might not need it.
Also, since we're in the public service announcement realm at this point, please tell your friends about this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We would love if they listened to it and also enjoyed it or hated it and sent us a horrible
and
hate mail.
And possibly said to other people, listen to this shitty podcast.
Listen to this piece of shit. Yeah.
Listen to how I can't believe how shitty it is. You better listen to it.
It's explicit. There's no Molyneux impressions. They only talk about...
video games.
Fucking video games. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. That would actually be awesome if you guys could like post on other forums you read where people might like a thing like this. What?
Be you're awesome saying, if you just tell flooded other forums
saying,
with a bunch of spam that says,
Idlethumbs,
listen to
Idlethumbs. Street team?
Street team, yeah. Forming a street team.
Right. Yeah, so...
grassroots.
We don't really know how to promote this thing at all.
We're going to give away games, right?
We haven't done any promotion of our own at all, so...
Should we ask them how to give away the games?
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole bunch of games here.
Design
to
your
give
own
away.
Contest. It's like a
if
game.
You, right.
So if you've got any cool ideas for how we can give those to, you know, you or someone who does a better job at your own contest than you, please write us at questions@idlethumbs.net and we'll steal your idea and then maybe give you a game if you've chosen your own contest wisely enough.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. I think that's all.
Yeah, tell other people. Review us on iTunes if you feel we're worthy of it or not. You
could spam the hell out of
them. Say how shitty
we
are, I guess. Please don't do that, though. But you could. It's up to you. It's like a video game. Jake is making weird expressions.
I'm in so much physical pain, and I think I have to shit.
See you guys.
Explicit.
Video game.
GameRib.biz.
GameRib.biz.
Well, it's GameRib. Not even for fun. Someone will reverse that, and then I'll get punched by Ryan Davis.
What did you point to?
No, no. You got to stop with the hypersensitivity here. I was scratching my nose.
Oh, I thought you pointed to the... All right.
What is going on?
this is like baseball gestures. Yeah, like, exactly. I just like...
No, I went like this, and then my hand was coming down to grab my drink. All right, and you're like, what is he doing now? What is he doing now?